Fancy system. Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome. My name is Ari Novy. I'm from the LeashTech Foundation in San Diego, California. Thank you for being here today. Our special session this morning is called Improving Synergistic Activities Between the Ecosystem and Botanic/Public Garden Communities. And the reason why we chose such a roll-off-the-tongue title is because we're excellent marketers. The real reason is that this is one of the preludes to a really exciting event, a conference, a symposium that will be hosted in 2019 in spring at the World Food Prize Foundation in Des Moines, Iowa, which brings together, recognizes that there's a really wonderful synergistic opportunity to bring together the public garden communities, those who operate typically not-for-profit or governmental organizations, interfacing with the public about horticulture and plants and botany of all kinds, with the agricultural sciences community, which is typically operating in more rural environments or land-grant universities, and really recognizing that there's a need to bring these great agricultural science programs together with the people who specialize in plant communication in all ways to the public. Because I think most people here would agree, if we did a straw poll, that the public would benefit from a lot more accessible understanding about agriculture and plant-based systems in general. So several people that are here and speaking today, myself included, and as well as the leadership at the highest levels in both the American Public Gardens Association and the Agricultural Tri Societies Access, put together a grant proposal to the to NIFA called this: Securing Crop Wild Relative Biodiversity, Botanic Gardens and Agronomists Unite to Raise Public Awareness and Provisioning Agroecosystems. We all know we have to get our buzzwords and keywords in there to get funding. And this is a conference a grant proposal, and it was funded. And so we have USDA money as well as matching funds and some other leads on sources that are funding this symposium that will happen, which will get a much better name than any of these things, in 2019. And so a couple of things that we're doing in the sort of 18 months we have between now and then to get ready are we're standing up a core planning committee, which met for the first time on Saturday here. At this meeting right here is the first sort of public presentation of a little bit of the topics we're going to be talking about and sort of a statement to the community of agricultural scientists that this is happening. We'll be doing the same thing in June of 2018 at the American Public Gardens Association annual conference, which this year will be in Anaheim, California. Come one, come all. And so please tell your friends, get it out there. We'll get it out there too. That we should have an actual date or dates for the eventual symposium in the next few months that we'll be getting out to the community. And so we're going to take this opportunity to have people who are really thinking deeply, especially those who have already kind of crossed those barriers, the agricultural scientists and experts who have already been working with organizations that are public, like public gardens and museums, to bring agricultural knowledge to the public, and the professionals at public gardens who have been seeking out agricultural knowledge, or the professionals within the public garden networks that happen to be agriculturally trained, who have been bringing that in as well. So this session today should really serve as an opportunity to both circumscribe the goals and issues of this collaboration and the opportunity for really reaching out to the public with this kind of a synergistic activity, as well as familiarize those of you here with the current activities in the field, and I suspect we'll hear from some people a little bit about some future activities as well. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Sarah Beck of the American Public Gardens Association. Thank you all for being here. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you so much. I'm Sarah Beck. I'm happy to be here from the American Public Gardens Association. We are really excited about the possibility of more collaboration between the agriculture science community and our community. We're kind of a little sister to the Access group. We are about 620 institutions, which really equals about 9,000 individual members. And those members are really a broad group. So they are professionals from all through the public garden world. We actually have 20 professional sections, so as you can see, there's a lot of topics, a really big range of topics. And one of our most recent professional sections is food and agriculture, and we have two of the chairs of that section right here with Ari and Tara. And part of that project, the grant project, and some of the other things that Ari was alluding to, are really coming out of that section. But I also wanted to frame this for you a little bit more in terms of how our organization feels that we're aligning with agriculture in some other ways, because this is not, you know, just as narrow as one set of professionals within our field. So also, I just wanted to mention that the goals for that professional section really align nicely with some of these ideas that I'm sure a lot of agriculture scientists are going to be interested in, this idea of connecting the two communities and also crop wild relative research. So these are really big topics for us. If any of you are familiar with the global strategy for plant conservation, or possibly even as specific as the North American strategy, this is something that we are really proud of partnering on. The North American strategy is, as you can see, the work of a large number of plant conservation organizations. And within that language, we are really very much aligning a lot of our program work and a lot of our partnerships are aligning our work with some of the language and the tactics from this, you know, basically the rule book for good plant conservation, and especially trying to reach some specific North American goals. So we're looking at collaborating with Canadian gardens, U.S. gardens, Mexican gardens, and we're really trying to accomplish some of these goals. And I just wanted to note this because I think it's really important that plants of agricultural value are really mentioned throughout this document, and so that the looking at plant diversity really also includes agriculture, and we were very careful to use that language. So this is a program that's very close to my heart because I've been working on it for a while. The Public Garden Sustainability Index is one of it's a program that's under the Climate and Sustainability Alliance, which is, you know, we have three signature programs at our association, and this one is mine. and it's really a system for a very holistic approach to sustainability, specifically at public gardens. It looks at social, environmental, and economic sustainability, so it's very holistic. And I just wanted to point this out because it aligns very specifically with the strategy, the North American strategy. So we're trying to make sure that same agricultural science language and the value of agricultural plants and pollinators, a number of related concepts, ends up being reflected in all those programs. This is another output that's come from these partnerships. It's really actually very exciting. We're working with Botanical Gardens Conservation International to create a benchmarking platform. We already have a garden benchmarking platform, and this is going to be now available. This portion of it will be available to, you know, all gardens in North America, and then I believe Botanical Gardens Conservation International, BGCI, will be launching this, you know, all over the world, in a not quite as American branded version. So the work we're doing is very exciting. We're again aligning all of that same language I just mentioned. So a lot of this, the work on biodiversity conservation, we're really hoping that we'll have a metric to determine where we are and at least start a baseline. I mean, I'd like to say that eventually we'd be asking for, you know, we'd be looking at key performance indicators and really returning reports to gardens and saying, here's where you actually are, and give them a metric so that they can see where they need to go. But at the very least, we're really going to start with what should be a really good sense of where we are. Now, there has been a little bit, just to go back to this bigger concept of public gardens working with the agriculture community. We know that a lot of our public gardens have plant collections that include agricultural food plants. And, you know, there's some research happening at public gardens. We believe that there could be a lot more of this, both of these. So we did a little bit of investigating just to understand what else is happening at public gardens. And we commissioned a report about a year ago And this helped us to determine just what kind of interest public gardens have in this topic. And we, just from the 104 survey respondents, 80% of them were doing pretty extensive programming in food or agriculture-related programming. So that actually was pretty encouraging that this is a hot topic. And what's interesting is it really ranges. There's just a huge number of types of programming going on at public gardens, everything from exhibits and classes, displays, all the way to work training programs that end up placing people in food-related work positions. So it's really diverse. One of the things that we think really is the reason for this interest and one of the central factors for all of these gardens is that they really get new audiences. Everyone is intimately connected to food, and food plants are very appealing to people, and especially people who don't necessarily feel included by a typical botanic garden experience. A lot of communities who public gardens are very interested, and just as an aside, I'm very involved in our diversity and inclusion committee, and people are very interested at gardens and understanding just what is the demographic of their region, and are they actually drawing the people who live around their gardens into that garden to participate? So this is a really nice entry point for a lot of community members. Now, I thought this is another interesting aspect of this report. When you talk about collaborations, and this question was specific to the collaborations at gardens around food programming. So the local, state, federal agency collaborations were, somewhat significant. It was 29% of those gardens. But I was really surprised, actually, that academic and research institution collaborations were only 12 of those that were interviewed, 18%. That is particularly interesting just because we know that at least 60 of our public gardens are related to land-grant universities. So that means that some of these gardens that have programs might be at a land-grant university and they're not even collaborating with the people that are right on their same campus. I see it more as an opportunity. It's not really a negative, but it just makes us realize that perhaps the conversation needs to be had. So going a little bit deeper into a dive beyond that report, Erin Kinley did her master's thesis on this idea of food system education in public gardens, and she looked a little more specifically at some case studies from that original report. She used this term, critical food literacy, and it's actually a pretty new term, and it's actually really interesting because it does involve a food justice component, and it's got a very systems focus of understanding food and agriculture. She looked at a number of different, she took all those types I showed you of the many types of programming, and she really just focused on these four types: classes, exhibits, training programs, and then these production farms where you had that job training component. What she found was that gardens, as we have already suspected, are really well placed to do this type of work. They have great infrastructure. They, as we know, they're excellent inquiry-style educators. They're really good at engaging people. But not all of the content was reaching the learning goals. And so we were a little surprised by that. And she really concluded from her research that gardens just need some more expertise in this area. They really need to reach into those land-grant universities or research institutions' resources and make sure that their content in this particular area is stronger. So that was her greatest recommendation. And we do certainly have lots of examples. In fact, you'll be hearing from Jeff and Tara today. They'll be talking about some really wonderful, and Ari, of course, really great examples of this. But I think this is especially interesting when we look at some of the gardens that have already embraced this idea. Minnesota Landscape Arboretum really does things beautifully. They integrate, obviously, with their university, but they also work with Extension. They also work with some of these commodities groups. It creates a very realistic view, I think, for the visitor. Same with the United States Botanic Garden. Everybody loves this. You might have even seen this before. Everybody loves the Amber Waves of Grain example. It's really, talk about showing people this very real version of farming. They actually brought some wheat farmers into D.C. to share, what that experience really is with the public. And, a lot of urban people really don't have that interface opportunity. So, really good example of this massive list of partners on that festival list. So there's tons of really great examples. And I know this has already been mentioned at this conference. I know a lot of people are talking about the St. Louis Science Center. I just thought it was especially interesting that Missouri Botanical Garden, in that set of original interviews from our first report on this, had mentioned this project. And they were pretty much small collaborators in this project. But I went and saw this exhibit. I feel like it really captures sort of all the perfect elements of what we're talking about here, because what you have is this really great museum-style, inquiry-style learning process, which is what public gardens use to engage the public and children especially. And it used that methodology, but it also was, a really great collaboration that also had to do with industry partners and university partners and the garden. So I think we could use that as a model for what is possible. And I had to throw this in here because I noticed this. This was just a very recent article, but it's a really nice example. And I know other people today are going to be talking a lot more about research collaborations. But I just think this is a really great example where we've got a news item. It's a big news item. We're talking about a research collaboration between a botanical garden and universities. But it also, we have that potential for the communication about it. And there's a serious food security issue being discussed. So, and climate change, and these are things that Missouri Botanical Garden is really good at communicating, and their education team is very good at engaging the public on this. So I think that as these sorts of research projects are happening and as the communication arm also collaborates, I think we could develop these really amazing opportunities. So just to conclude, the public gardens seem interested in this conversation. They want to talk about difficult topics. They want to explain what agriculture really is. They want to have the conversation. They don't necessarily have all of the tools. They have methodology. They have pedagogy. They just don't necessarily have, the content that you all are holding. So we really want to work with you, and we're excited about it.